Welcome everyone to another video of Into the West podcast. My name is Charles. With me today are Richard, Ian, and a special guest, Elliot. Now, Elliot is from Golems Gamers. He has a YouTube channel over there that also talks about strategy and also has battle reports and stuff like that. We did another episode with him talking about the top armies of 2023. So make sure you check that out if you haven't already. And today we'll just be talking a little bit about the GBHL, where Elliot is from. He's from the UK. And we'll talk a little bit about his tournament scene and some predictions that he might have for the upcoming year. So, Elliot, what would you say makes the GBHL unique from other communities in the around the world? Just give us a little bit of a summary for people not familiar with the GBHL.
Yeah, so I've actually never played SBG in another country, though, so I'm not too familiar with the other communities. But what I'd probably say makes the GBHL its own thing is probably just how big the league is, I would say, like just the size and scale of it. I imagine it's probably the biggest league in the world with like the most amount of events and players, most likely. So last year in the 2022 season, there were about 55 events. And around 750 players in the league, so who went to tournaments in last year. But then this year, there have been roughly 120 tournaments and 1,300 players. So the league has essentially doubled size in a year. So I'd probably just say the most unique thing is just how many events you can go to and the amount of people you meet and friends that you can make. So I went to 21 events last year and 23 events this year. So basically an event every 2 weeks for this entire year. So I'm seeing so many of the same regular tournament attendees so frequently throughout the year. So I've made so many friends and there's just, yeah, a lot of camaraderie in the league, sort of, especially at the top end, which is where I sort of go to 100s and things like that, you know, and just across the league as a whole kind of. So I'm not sure if other communities around the world get together anywhere near as frequent as we do. Obviously, you guys being in Canada, like, how often would you guys, you know, go to events in an average year or that sort of thing?
I think even the people who attend the most events, at least over here, probably hit like 10 a year, maybe ish.
Are they having to travel quite far to get that done as well, I imagine?
Yeah, it depends. We had, what was it, like 3 or 4 years ago, where I think I was the only person who went to every single event we hosted that year, but that was like all of them were like local ones, like within an hour's drive of here. Yeah. Now that it's expanded and our community is like down into the States a lot more, it's a lot of like local smaller groups that go to like most of their own events, and then we get like interchange for the bigger ones.
Gotcha.
But that being said, you know, like that driving time, like from where we are down to like Portland, which is kind of about as south as we go, that's like a 6-hour drive. So that's like the same kind of thing as like your maximum for the GBHL, right?
Yeah, the max. And I mean, it's just, yeah, with kind of just the UK being quite small, kind of most people, if they want to, can really attend most events. Like, you know, especially me being from just outside of London, there's lots of events kind of in the south and like the Midlands. So Nottingham is obviously where Warhammer World is, so there's a really big community of top players and everything in Nottingham, and that's only like 2 hours from everyone in the south, essentially. So there's just a big community of people who want to go to lots and lots of different events, and they're all quite close together, so that just kind of naturally forms quite a close-knit community of people. You know, tickets for these 100s sell out almost instantly. I'm sort of known amongst the league for just buying like 10 of it, 10 event tickets instantly as soon as they go live, and it just says my name 10 times on the event page.
I suppose you could buy 2 bins.
You know, so there's so many people wanting to go to these events. They sell out almost instantly. In a couple of weeks, there's Into the West, which is in Cardiff, or by the time this goes out, it might have already happened even, which is like 120 players at that event, which is like the biggest event that we host in Wales. Yeah, there's lots of people going to these events, and I just think that's really unique, I think, to the GBHL.
And I think that's an aspect that I really am a bit jealous of you guys, like having the amount of tournaments and especially competitive tournaments. You know, as competitive players, it's sometimes nice with a busy schedule to like be like, oh, I have 2 or 3 weekends free here. And then, you know, you guys being able to just go to a tournament, right? I think for us, like, especially the more competitive tournaments, there might be like three or maybe four in a given year throughout the league. So right. we kind of have to build up to that. You know, that's why a lot of our list building is like theory crafting compared to maybe where you guys
You've got a lot of time. Actually
testing it, right?
Yeah, there and then, yeah. I guess there's a lot more pressure as well. You know, when you get there, you've got a, you know, the next big tournament isn't until, you know, a few months away. But here in the UK, there was a point in, I think, July when I went to 4 100s in a single month. The summer was really busy for us. A little teaser. So it may have already gone out by now, but we're doing like a GBHL season review where we'll be talking about our years and everything and how we got on as a team and individually. And I actually recorded every single game that I played this year, the score and everything. So I've got a lot of stats for the scenarios that I played and everything. So all kinds of stats about the amount of hundreds I went to and everything. But yeah, July there was... I attended 400s in a month, which was pretty crazy.
So aside from playing in these events, I know you also actively cover them on your YouTube channel. What would you say is like the thing you love most about the tournament scene over there?
Yeah, I think probably it's quite a new thing, actually. The best thing about the GBHL at the moment for me, because obviously there's the whole individual side of it. You know, you're trying to make your score as good as you can and everything. And there's all the camaraderie and everything that I mentioned. But I think the best thing at the moment that they've added in very recently is the team system, which has definitely added a new dynamic to the league. So for anyone that doesn't know, this year in the GBHL, the committee came up with an idea of teams. So essentially at the start of the year, everyone put together teams of 9 players. And at the end of the year, there was an overall teams ranking, how the scoring would work. So it was the top 10 scores from across all the players in the team would make up your team score. But each player could only contribute 2 scores, their top 2 scores to the top 10. So for example, we had Ash and Jay both win 2 100s, and as soon as they did that, there's nothing else that they could contribute anymore to the team score. And then the next best player scores would come in after that to make up the top 10. So it just generated a lot of kind of storylines and like smack talk and that sort of thing just between players and regions and different teams and everything. Obviously we're a podcast with a team, Any Heroics, who I'm sure you guys are familiar with as well. They have a team. So there was just a lot of storylines and fun things generated from the whole teams thing, which I think when I first heard the idea and it was put online at the end of last year, I didn't see it being this good. Maybe the management committee kind of had a vision for it, but it's done really, really well for the league. And now at the end of this year, there's been a lot of talk about like players transferring and like that sort of thing. So it's just quite a fun thing. We have made a couple of quite big signings on the Golems Gamers, which we may have announced in our official signing video by the time this goes up. I'm not too sure. Once the ink is dry, we'll be announcing the signings.
Just sign the contract.
But yeah, it's just been really fun overall. And I think it's something, I'm not sure if any other league has something like that.
No, I can confirm that no other league has contracts. So you guys are definitely next level.
We may have made a max signing this year. We offered some of the max.
You guys are getting paid?
Is there any way for me to get scouted, maybe, to get
to get signed? I'll have to come over to the States. We'll go see an NBA game, Richard, and then we can discuss numbers. Yeah, don't worry. Also, another thing, which is probably it isn't a very serious thing, but like there's so many of these players, we all know each other so well and everything. There is a large amount. I'm probably the worst offender of this, but there is a heavy amount of people using other people's models that goes on. There is a lot of, borrowing things. And I am definitely known probably as the worst offender. So just being able to basically take any army you want at the drop of a hat really is quite fun.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, some things that I guess we could, look forward to cultivating.
Guys, sharing is caring.
I do have a question that is a bit off of what we've already talked about. Knowing that the UK and the GBHL is probably the league that is closest to Games Workshop and like their headquarters, your guys' like general view on like 3D printed models and all that kind of stuff.
So as in kind of as a league, what is kind of the stance on it at events usually, do you mean?
Yeah. I just want to say for us, and I think also for like Australia, because we're usually have like less stock and things are more expensive generally, that there is a bit more accepting views on it. Like, as long as it's like, you do still have Games Workshop models in your army, and then it's also very clear of your intentions, I think usually that's like a no problem, even in our premier events.
Gotcha. Yeah. It does kind of depend on the TO. So a lot of the time, if there is a Games Workshop model, they would prefer that you use the Games Workshop model. If, say, you've bought a 3D printed army of like the, I know there's quite a lot of versions of like the Azog's Legion, Gundabad Orcs. Like, let's say you had a 3D printed army of those and you ask the TO and it's at like a 90 or something, oh, I've got this really cool army, can I use it? They're probably going to say yes. Yeah, I don't think there'd be issues with that. I think maybe at 100s, there are certain TOs who would just expect to have the Games Workshop models. You know, everything's always WYSIWYG as well at all our tournaments, as I'm sure it is with you guys. But I don't think there's much of a correlation between Nottingham and Games Workshop headquarters being close to us and people not wanting to use 3D printed stuff. We do see a lot of it, Arnor and things like that as well. You know, people proxy with 3D printed stuff. Talking about Games Workshop specifically though, they run events at Warhammer World and they are very no-no on using 3D printed stuff, obviously. Having worked at Games Workshop as well, you know, if someone would start talking about 3D printed stuff in our store, that was something I was told to shut down immediately. So I don't work for Games Workshop anymore, so I'm fine with saying that. But yeah, it's something that they don't look on very kindly, which is sort of fair. I think I am in the camp of wanting to support the hobby. And, you know, I'm very grateful that Games Workshop are still making all the models and everything. But if I'm going to buy their models and not use 3D printed stuff, I would maybe like some support for the game in return. And that hasn't happened as of late, but that's a different conversation.
What are you looking forward to the most in 2024?
So heading into 2024, I would probably say the thing that I'm most looking forward to, there's a big change happening in the league with the way that it's scored, where the points that you get now at GBHL 100s are going to scale the same way that they do in 90s and 80s. So how it works right now at GBHL 100s, if you win the 100, you get 100 points. If you come second, you get 95. And who comes third will get 90. Every other player at the event will then split up the remaining points between them. But now the entire 100 points will be divided between every single player at the event. So it puts less stock into getting over the hump and onto the podium, essentially, because the jump from third to second and second to first was really, really big. But it puts the players that are on the outside kind of looking in. So in like the 6 to 12 range, which is where someone like me usually ends up falling, means that, you know, those players are going to get a lot more points, as players finishing like fourth, for example, would still get like 89 or 88, depending on the size of the event, which is still a good score for this year. But now they're going to get like 95 or something next year.
Just to clarify, it's based on the number of players. Like, let's say if there's 50 players in the tournament, then like second place would get 98 points, right?
So it's, So let's say there was 53 players at an event this year, the top three would get 195, 90, and then the remaining 50 players would divide the remaining 89.99 points between them. Yeah, so but next year that's going to happen for everyone at the event. So it will also make it work, because this year in the first and second spot in the league, as the scores for coming first and second at 100s were the same, the tiebreaker to determine who was first and second went down to like the eighth tiebreaker or something, where next year, as every score is going to be so different, you know, 95.96 and that sort of thing, there won't be ties really in terms of the scoring, so it's going to be much easier to kind of track who's where, and it really makes kind of every game and every VP just more important overall, for everyone going to these events. So I think it's a really good change to the scoring overall, and it's going to make things much better at these 100s. I think
I'll happily say that that's probably the one thing our league does better than the GBHL, because that's the system that we have right now for all our tournaments. It's based on the number of people in it. I think it works really well. So I think, yeah, I think it's going to be great for you guys.
It's a good change. Yeah.
I mean, I think it probably works better in the GBHL system, because you just guys just have so many more points, like at 100 and like 90 points. Like for us, like the people who like are going to win our league, it's you have the podium at the 100s and like the one or 100 we have, yeah, like the couple 90s that we have. Otherwise, you're not going to get up there, right?
No.
But like in a system where you have, you know, 25 100s, like whatever, it's gonna work out.
One final question for you. How do you think the meta will be in 2024? Do you have any predictions to this year? Like any shifts in the meta?
It probably depends on whether we get any new models or a new book or anything. So as I talked about in our previous video, but for anyone that didn't watch that, kind of the 2023 meta was dominated by Witch King Suladan, essentially, for a number of different reasons. Such good value heroes and troops just makes it really, really strong, and nerfs to other lists, which countered it quite well as well, played into that. But towards the end of the year, there was a big shift into people trying to take things to counter Witch King Suladan. So there was kind of more lower count armies were more prevalent, so they could take elite troops to try and counter it. So things like D7 troops in either dwarves or Fountain Court, lots of Lothlorien for fight six and resistant to magic, and that sort of thing. So I'm not too sure, with unless anything new comes out, or the FAQ that comes in February or August as well, which is obviously ages away. If things are nerfed in that, that's probably the only thing that I could see really changing it drastically, or if anything new comes out. But for now, at least, I think Witch King Suladan is probably here to stay, and people are going to be taking things to try and counter that until something changes in the game, unless kind of the top players start taking different lists because they want to try out different things because they're getting stale and that sort of thing. There has been a bit of a shift in that already, where our top players are trying new things, so maybe then people will start taking other things to try and counter those. But overall, I think until anything actually changes in the game, we're probably not going to see too much movement, I would imagine.
We're talking assuming that there's no new profiles, because if there is, then
things will change.
Obviously. In the previous video where we talked about the top armies from 2023, Elliot suggested that possibly the Crown of Morgul or Suladan's banner would be nerfed. So if that happens in one of the FAQs next year, which armies do you think will maybe grow in popularity? I'm thinking maybe armies that typically struggle against magic, if there's less Witch Kings around, certain legendary legions that don't really have anything to deal with spellcasters.
So two I would think of off the bat, I think Emperor probably gets better, because there's been a number of times where I've played against very good Witch King Suladan players this year where if I had Brawgear gets sap-willed after a couple turns, and then my front line is, if they're not Black Dragons, then they're Courage 3 down to Courage 2. So that's a big issue going into Witch King Suladan. So if that's eliminated, I think you see more Dragon Emperors. I think as well, we spoke about Angmar was at the fifth spot in our list. I think I was saying how Angmar just doesn't play well into Witch King Suladan. So I think you may see some of those Witch King players go back to Angmar, and that probably gets a lot better, I'd say, because Witch King Suladan is a really big counter for Angmar at the moment. So I think that probably gets a lot better.
Maybe Goblin Town as well. Just if they're playing that Courage build with the Black Numenoreans and Witch King, if you don't have to worry about that as much.
It sucks for Goblin. Yeah, and just you're seeing Black Num front lines absolutely everywhere. So yeah, lots of things are going to get better, but I'd probably say Angmar would come back in quite a lot, I'd say.
Well, Elliot, thanks for coming on to the podcast and talking to us a little bit about the GBHL. Really great to have you.
Thank you for having me, guys. Thank you.
And one last thing, just want to shout out our supporters over on Patreon. If you're interested in extra perks like watching episodes early or seeing additional content, please visit the link below and check out our Patreon page. Once again, thank you all for watching, and look forward to the next episode of Into the West podcast.